There's a theme here in this Mizmor, again and again, where David keeps on saying that, "Forgive me." Like I always make, I make a joke when we turn on the shir. This shir is being recorded for training purposes only. Okay, we make that joke lately, right? We say this shir is being recorded. So David keeps on saying that my Hashem, by you forgiving me, forgive me for training purposes only. It's in essence what the theme of this Mizmor is, because David keeps saying to Hashem again and again in different words in this Mizmor, if you will forgive me, then what has happened will serve as an example for everyone else in this world to learn from me that if you do an Avera and you ask Hashem for forgiveness, He forgives you and you can get on with life and you don't have to be mired your whole life in sin. So it is essential, David is basically almost kaviyachol threatening Hashem, that if you're not going to forgive me, then people are not going to be able to have an opportunity to learn. They're not going to be able to learn the lesson of tshuva. David was the one who taught the world that a person can do teshuva. You'll ask the obvious question, we know that Cain, we have a medrash that says that when Cain killed Hevel, Cain did teshuva, and he met Adam HaRishon, and he told Adam, Adam said to his son, how did you get out of prison? How is it that you're alive after you committed murder in Hashem? And Hashem went and confronted you and he presented the smoking gun evidence. How is it that you're still around? So Cain said to Adam, I did teshuva. And Adam then, it says in the Medrash, he hit himself on his head. He went like this. He hit himself on the head and he said, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know you can do teshuva. Had I known you could do teshuva when I ate from the Eitz Hadas, I also would have done teshuva. Wow, what an incredible thing. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Toiv Lahoydes LaHashem. The Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos was reaction. It was Adam HaRishon's reaction to the realization, the recognition that a person can do teshuva for his sins. That's what it says in the Medrash. So, question is, we already know that a person can do teshuva. We know that from Cain. We know that from Adam. But
it wasn't a public thing.
What?
The whole world didn't know. They didn't know it, that they did it between each other.
Okay, all right. Yes, yes.
Publicly, you know what? You walk in the street and you say, you know what a big novel I am? Whatever it is.
Well, Chazal say you're not supposed to do that. You're not necessarily supposed to do that. A person will... Okay, I hear. I don't know. You ask some good questions. I don't know. Ashrei Nisui Pesha. If a sin was done privately, you are not supposed to reveal the sin. If a sin is done publicly, then you're supposed to confess publicly. Okay, there are a set of rules of when a person should confess, when not. Like I told you 2 days ago, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, Davar Nifla, that if a person should never daven at home, never. If you wake up late, you should go to shul and daven b'yachidus in the Beis HaKnesses. You're supposed to daven the makam kodosh, but there's one exception. The only time you don't can daven at home is if you're a Talmud Chacham and you wake up late, and if you're going to go to shul, daven b'yachidus v'chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem that a rabbinic figure wakes up late and davens and davens 10 o'clock in a shul b'yachidus, a chil Hashem. So if a person who's a rabbinic figure, for him to do that, people are going to see him walking in the street carrying his tefillin at 10 o'clock to go daven, zechil Hashem, better daven at home b'yichidus. Otherwise, a person should daven in a makam kodosh in a Beis HaKnesses. Okay, so you're right.
That's why all these people walk in late for shul.
Obviously, they don't hold themselves to be rabbinic figures.
That's why they make the minyan late.
What? Okay, let's not extrapolate. Okay, let's not point fingers and extrapolate and discuss this. But any event, you're right, saying good. There is a different technique. But I'm asking you a general question. If David HaMelech, if over here David HaMelech keeps saying again and again this Mizmor, especially now for the rest of this Mizmor, Hashem, you have to forgive me. Even if you don't want to forgive me personally, you have to use me as an example, as a teaching example for the entire world, that a person that does an Avera can do teshuva, and he'll be forgiven, and he can go further, he can move on and accomplish something with his life in this world. question, why does David need to say this? Why can't we learn this from Cain and Adam? It's the Farish in the Medrash that Hashem confronted Cain, and Cain said, Godol avoni minasoi, my sin is too great. Okay, he doesn't say it explicitly in the Pasuk, but there the Medrash says that Cain was not, really should have been killed. Cain committed murder. Murder is one of the Torah, the skila, a person's chayiv misa, if he commits murder. And yet, he got away with it. How did he get away with it? He did teshuva. Adam HaRishon was shocked. He could not believe that his son got off the hook.
Mudei Nisa makes it very interesting on this week's parsha on HaKodesh HaZelokhem. He has a long thing, and what he says very simply, Adam couldn't do tshuva, because what makes a person do tshuva is Yaskelo Yom HaMisa. Adam didn't have that over its head, so he couldn't do tshuva even if he wanted to, because he couldn't be Maski Yom HaMisa, because there was no
after I hear what you're saying.
No, but that was from eating the Eitzadash, but he didn't know what all this was about. So the only way God had to decree that he would die.
Okay, is it there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's the way he explained it.
So obviously, I don't have an answer. Obviously, the answer has to be that it's different. It has to be there are two different types of teshuva. There was the teshuva of Cain and the teshuva of David, and they're very, very different. And one, I don't know the sugyas well enough. We have to delve into this more. Maybe at some point we'll figure this out. But something to keep in mind, there is a fundamental difference between the teshuva of Cain and the teshuva of David. Because if the teshuva is just all one and the same, this lesson was already revealed to the world at the time of creation, in the time of Cain. Cain did the most horrific crime possible. He murdered another human being, and Cain survived. He was not put to death. He was punished, Navinad, but he did not get what he deserved. And the Medrash acknowledges this, and the Medrash says the only reason why he was not put to death was because he did teshuva. And he told this to Adam. Adam was in utter shock, and he banged himself on his head, and he says, wow, if I would have known that there's something called teshuva, after I ate from the Eitz Hadas, I also would have done teshuva. And maybe the world today would be different. The world would be different. It would be a different world. Maybe people wouldn't die. Whatever it would have been, the curses that Hashem decreed for this world would not have been so severe, because I would have done teshuva. I didn't know. Cain taught me that you can do teshuva. At least one thing that we do see from Adam and Cain is that when Cain did teshuva, Adam HaRishon, he learned the lesson. Cain's teshuva was an out of the ballpark home run, because someone paid attention and they learned a lesson. Look, if he could do teshuva, I could do teshuva. That's the goal. That is the goal. David HaMelech is saying exactly the same thing. David is saying over here, maybe you want to say the difference is that Adam there, Cain, he sinned a different type of sin. He sinned benogea murder. Here, David sinned Gilui Arayos. It's a different, maybe you'll just say it's a different type. Who says the teshuva when a person commits murder? So maybe for that type of sin, you can do teshuva. I don't know, the person's gone. I don't know why. When it comes to Gilui Arayos, and maybe you can argue, I don't know, you have to really analyze it in very great detail, that it's more complicated. The consequences, the ramifications are more complicated, where maybe you can't do tshuva. Well, the truth is, David over here is also murder, because Uriah was put to death. Uriah was killed directly. Okay, I don't know. This needs more expertise to understand, to answer this question, homework question, for the exalted members of the Morning Kollel. Go ask your grandchildren this question. Why do we need in the Torah there to be two examples of someone teaching the world teshuva? Cain and David. And David is negotiating with Hashem, you must forgive me so I can be my event will be a lesson for the world. Yeah? A yachren for the tzibur. Okay? You think saying that David was a tzibur. David was a communal figure. Whereas Adam was Cain was a private person. Does everyone want to say? So you want to teach, even when it's done by a public figure, this teshuva. Possibly interesting. All right, let's see. So alamda poshim. Okay. So alamda poshim derechecha. So therefore, I will teach by if you will forgive me, I will teach sinners your way. Vechatoy melecha yeshuva, and sinners will learn from me, and they will do teshuva. Pasuk tazay. Let's read the few psukim, and then we'll come back. Hatzileni midamim elokim elokei seshuasi. Save me from death, damim, from dying. Okay, this we'll see the mafarshim in a moment. The word dam. It's very interesting, this concept. Sometimes dam is expressed by lashon yachid. Dam, damoi benafshoi. Dam means blood. Blood is written by lashon yachid. And sometimes, no, not necessarily. We'll see. But sometimes the word, it's like in this example, like dmei achicha tsayakim elai min ho adama. Ein loy damim. Blood, b'loshon rabim. Dam is b'loshon yachid. Damim is b'loshon rabim. And when it says b'loshon rabim, it's referring to a single person, maybe in this case as well. So you got to make up your mind. Is the word, when we deal with the person's blood, his life, it's a metaphor for his life, is it l'shon yachid, or is it l'shon ram? Nefesh, neshama, is l'shon yachid. Okay, when you deal with an individual, an individual, you never say that a person has nefashos. A person is an individual, he has one neshama. Even though that one neshama may have many components, it's called one neshama. But when it comes to blood, sometimes blood is expressed for l'shon rabim, even for a single person. Hevel, demei achicha tsayakim elai min ho adama. The blood b'lashon rabim, demei, doesn't say dam achicha tsayakim elai min ho adama. I know there's a drush that demei means all of his descendants. It's b'lashon rabim. By killing one person, you've killed out a whole world. One person can populate a whole world. So demei refers to all of his future descendants. Okay, that's a drush. Oh, wait, we're not up to the marble yet. One thing at a time. One, maybe there would be a good person among his descendants that would influence the world to do teshuva, so there should not be a marble. You can't go look ahead into the future. You have to deal with Basher Husham. Okay, you're saying good. You're confusing with the facts. I hear what you're saying. I hear you're saying good. Very advanced people here. You know everything. You can't get away with anything over here. Very good. It's Agvaldik. I don't know the answer, but I'm not telling you my vart. If you look at, we'll jump right now to the Radak. Okay, we'll take a detour for one moment. Tiranein, it's on page 467. 467, it says, Tiranein lishanit sid kecha, my tongue, we didn't get this pasuk, my tongue will sing your righteousness. That I will sing to you when you forgive me. And then he goes on to say, Vidom nemar b'lashon yachid u'v'lashon rabim. B'lashon yachid k'mo dom naki. Bo, he's an innocent man. And then it says, Dimei achichas b'lashon rabim. V'atam kosav hechacham Rabbi Avram ben Izra. Nikra b'lashon yachid bavor ki hu echad. He's one person. Uvuloshon rabim ki hu nosei eskol ho arba yisoidos. Okay, so he's saying that blood has within it all four elements. What are the four elements? Water.
Air, earth, fire, and water.
Say that again slowly for people slow like me.
Air,
earth, water, and fire. Okay, he has all four yisoidos. This is what the Ibn Ezra says. Ibn Ezra says that blood is a complex entity. It is a complex item. It has all four yisoidas. Therefore, we call it b'lashon rabim damim. But on the other hand, we call it dam in many psukim because it represents it's one item. This is a very interesting thing. Hey, this is new, at least for me, new thing. This concept of blood, the neshama. We never call one person's neshama multiple with multiple terms, unless you want to be mechadesh. Do you want to suggest, based upon this concept? I mean, this really is interesting. Based upon this concept, that now that we've learned that the word damim refers to one person, and because the blood is a complex component which has many parts, it's many components, a complex item which has many parts, and it's a compound that's made up of many components, And that's why we call it B'loshon Rabim Damim. So you know what? If you ever go to Rabbi Kahn Shul, Knesses Beis Avigdor, and you daven Mincha, and you look at the Amud, and you will see there are five candles, there are five Neros, and on the five Neros they're labeled the five different terms for the Neshama. Okay, I can never memorize the five names, as you did. Wow, Mordechai. Woohoo. Nefesh, Ruach.
Neran Chai.
Nun is Nefesh. Re is Ruach. Nun is Neshama. Chai is Chai. And Yud is Yechida. Yechida. Chai. Ches is Chai. Ches Chai. And then Yechida. Ches Chai. Okay, there are five. So therefore, you can say, why don't we have a new pshat? Go home and you tell we learn the Kollel, a new pshat, when it says by Shabbos. V'nichrisu, see that's how it says v'nichrisu b'loshen rabim. V'nichrisu hanefashois ha'oisois mikerev amam. We're only referring to one person, and the reason why we're saying it b'loshen rabim is because a person's soul is a compound made up of multiple components, just like blood is a compound that is made up of four yesoides. And that's why it's called here in this pasuk, Alamedo for Yeshim Durchav, pasuk Tezayin, Hatzileini Midomim, save me from death, save me from my blood being spilled. And David here is only referring to his own blood. He should say, Hatzileini Midam. Dam would be a metaphor, save me from the shedding of the spilling of my blood, my death. So why is he saying over here the word Damim B'loshon Rabim? Comes to the rescue of the Radak. In the name of Ibn Ezra, because blood is a compound that is made up of multiple components, and therefore you can say that that's why it's referred to B'loshon Rabim. So I am suggesting to you a drush that the neshama is also a complex compound made of multiple components, Neiron Chai, the five different components of the neshama, which all come together for one person. So therefore, just like here, David says, save me from death. And he talks about his death, B'loshon Rabim Damim. So too, when it says, V'nichrusu hanefashois hoisois mikerev amam, we're referring to one person. If one individual is mechal Shabbos, that one person will be cut off. And the cutting off includes all of the components of the compound of his being. Okay? That's a drush. You know, that's a little bit of a wild chiddush.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I accept, but you didn't come here.
I look at it as a collective noun. I mean, mayim is very similar.
Mayim, yud mem.
It doesn't have a singular.
Right, doesn't have a singular. Right, look, Adam. Adam does not have a plural. There's no plural for the word Adam. Enosh. That's the difference between the word Enosh and Adam. Adam is, there's no such thing. Adam means the first man, an individual, but also it means mankind. Enosh, there's an ish, is the individual, and an Enosh, Anoshim. Anoshim is Lashon Rabim. So when you use the word, Anoshim, or you use the word ish, there's an understanding that there's a potential for there to be unity. Or there can be separation. There's an ish and Anoshim. Good morning, Rabbi Shulman. Shalom Aleichem. Good Shabbos. It's ish and Anoshim. Adam, there's no such thing. It's all or nothing. It's man or human. So okay, this is a new idea. I'm reading you. It says over here in the Radak. The Radak is presenting a very unique, new, something at least to me is brand new. Fresh.
What's the word ishe?
Fire offerings. That's a different word altogether. Ishe reach nichoyach. Ish. Ish. And ishe, there it means fire offerings that you put on the mizbeach. That's a whole different word. Okay, this is something that is, like, there's nothing like a fresh bagel. A fresh bagel, a new concept, right? A new concept here of the word that sometimes when we refer to this death, that the word blood, the spilling of blood. So you refer to blood, it can either be written of an individual, either it's dom or damim. We learned the pasuk here with this whole drush I told you. Let's go further. Hatzileini midamim elokim elokei teshuasi. You are the God of my salvation. Tiranein lishoinit tzidkosecha. And when you do so, my tongue will speak your righteousness. I will thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Next pasuk, Yitzayin Hashem. Oh, the faith. This is this pasuk. We say this pasuk. How many times a day do we say this pasuk? Hashem Sefasai. 3 times. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Goyel Lokei. We only say by Mincha. You only say by Mincha. You don't say that. You don't say that by Shachris. Or by Mosav. That's correct. Very good. You don't say that by Ma'ariv. Only by Mincha. But this Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. My lips, may you open up my lips. Ufi yagid will declare tilosecha. So we say this out of context. Out over here, we're learning the pasuk in context, and in context means if you will forgive me. There is a sentence that goes before that. If you will forgive me, Hashem, then I will be loosened. Then I will be so glad. My lips will open up, and it will declare your praise for forgiving me. See, we don't look at it like that. We take it out of context. We just say, Hashem, I need help. It is the prayer to pray. Okay, we pray to Hashem that we should have success in praying. There's modim drabanan, and there is Hashem sefasai. Modim drabanan, Hashem sefasai have a lot in common. They both represent a prayer for a prayer. We thank you, Hashem, al shanachnu modim lach. We thank you that we have the opportunity to thank you. We pray to you, Hashem, that we should succeed in being able to pray to you. These two things have a lot in common. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach and Moedim Drabanan. Okay, we'll lead them first and we'll get more context in a few moments. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach V'yagid L'Secha Ki Le'Sach Ba'it Zevach. Because Hashem, you don't want sacrifices, because if you would want it, V'etena, I would give it to you. If what you really want, Hashem, is sacrifices, okay, I'll buy the whole store. I'll go down, I'll buy them all up, I'll buy all the animals and offer you a million sacrifices. But Hashem, we both know that you don't need sacrifices. What you want is a lev, nishbar v'nitke. You want a person to humble himself. Ki loy sach bet zevach. You don't want sacrifices, kama, because if you did, then v'etena, I would give you. Oila lois sirtze, this poetic repetition. You don't want oilois, but what do you want? You want prayers to humble himself. Zivche, what do you want, Hashem? What do you want? Next pasuk, zivche elokim ruach nishbora. The real sacrifice that you want, Hashem, is a broken spirit. A lev nishbar v'nitke elokim lois sivze. A heart that is broken and crushed, Hashem will not despise. He will not reject.
It's favored.
So that's the question. Why then does it say loisivzeh? It should say something positive.
I know, but the way it's understood.
Right. But it's a good question. It's a good question. Why doesn't it say it outright in the other way? Okay, we have to see. Now the next two psukim, which wind down this mizmar, are very, very difficult. They're so difficult. I'll show you soon in the Radak. It's something that is utterly shocking, beyond belief, what he says, the next two psukim. It doesn't really fit here into this mizmar. We've been learning this mizmar, dealing with David being confronted by Nosna Davi, being told that he has sinned. David confesses, he says all the right words, Chotosi, Avisi, Poshati. He says, if you notice, there are a lot of excuses here. First, David, he right away says, I'm guilty. Guilty, 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 guilty. Then he goes on defense. You know, I'm not really guilty. It's my father's fault. Blame it on my kindergarten teacher. If only he would have given me that lollipop. Blame it on the candy man in shul. Blame it on. Now it's time to play the blame game. The blame game. Then after the blame game doesn't work, he says, you know what, Hashem? No, you know, forgive me for training purposes only. So that people can use me as a tool to teach other people in the world to do teshuva. He goes through very long. We used to have someone to come here to the shir, Dr. Wilbur, he's a psychologist. So he once explained that when a person is confronted with bad news. So in science they understand psychology. There's a whole process. The first thing is denial. When a person is told news, bad news, he doesn't want to hear, he's first in a state of denial. And that lasts a very long time. And then, after denial, he told me this whole is a process that goes through the mind. After denial, there is. I don't remember. He told me. I don't remember all the details how it goes. And here you see David is going through an emotional experience because he's vacillating. He's going through a whole thing. First, immediately he says, "I'm guilty. I'm guilty." Then he comes home and his lawyers say, "Why did you say you're guilty? You don't do that. You never say in America you're guilty. You lawyer up. You lawyer up, and we'll figure out a plan. We'll manipulate the judge. We'll pay bribes. We'll come up with all these crazy things, and we'll plant seeds of doubt in the minds of the jurors. It's all these crazy things people do. Why did you say you're guilty? We have a lot of excuses for you." Okay, that was a little bit of a joke, but the truth is, a person in his life, when he's confronted with a situation that is overwhelming, it puts his mind through a roller coaster ride, and the mind has to be able to somehow deal with this information that is extremely disturbing. I had a friend who lost his mother. It's very, 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 very disturbing. Baruch Hashem, now she's, Baruch Hashem, 100% back to herself. And she's not a youngster, this woman, and she had a very, very elderly mother herself. So basically, this is my friend's grandmother. She must have been in her 90s. It cannot be otherwise. And she was very, very ill for the last tekufa. And her daughter, who was no youngster herself, took care of her. And then she died. And she had a total breakdown. The daughter, who took care of her, who's not a youngster. And then she calmed down. And then all of a sudden, they said, where is my mother? And they told her she died. And she had, and it's ki'ilu, she didn't know that she died. And she died? And she had, like he told her for the first time. And she had a meltdown. And then after, like a little short period after, again. And the children freaked out. They called Hatzalah for the mother. Okay, after, right in front of the dead body was still there. And they called Hatzalah for the mother because she, and it took a few days for her to, and the doctors basically said that this happens. A person, an older person, who's been extremely devoted to someone and is confronted with horrible news, you don't realize what it can do to a person's mind. A person can crack up. And you know, Baruch Hashem is totally fine now, but a person goes through an enormous, enormous stress in the mind. This mizmor illustrates that, is illustrating that to a very powerful degree. He starts off, the first thing he says, Chaneini Hashem, right away he says, Mechei, the very first pasuk was Mechei Fisho'oi, erase my sin. Know what that sounds like? Denial. It never happened. Erase. Mechei Fisho'oi. Then he goes on to say, clean it. Cleaning is not the same as erasing. When you clean a stain, you can't get out the stain totally. Then David goes on to say, L'chol levad chachatasi, you know, it wasn't so bad. I only sinned to you. I didn't sin to anyone else. I didn't sin to anyone else. It's not true. You sinned to everyone. And then he goes, excuses. Hein b'avon chololti, you know, it's not my fault. It's my father's fault. And then he says, then he goes on to say, purify me. And just make sure it doesn't happen again. Okay, you have to go and reconstruct this entire thing, all over again. But it's very interesting is that every pasuk is presenting a completely different angle in dealing with being confronted with a situation that you never saw coming. There's a shock. David here is in utter shock. David's the Melech Yisrael. He's a tzaddik. He's the Gadol Hadar. He's a Navi. I don't do anything wrong. Me? I'm perfect. I'm Mr. Perfect. How could it be that I did anything wrong? And all of a sudden, Nasan HaNavi shows up and says, David, you're finished. You're a choyte. You did the worst aver in the world. What? What are you talking about? I didn't do anything. And David has to take this in and unwind. And first, you know, you have to put this mizmor through the lens of a professional psychologist who deals with these type of things every single day. And certainly he'll show you that in these psukim here, the mind is going through a cycle, which is the human condition. It's the human condition to go through this cycle. Now the last two, now so now we're really finished. We told you the mizmor really is over. And now we come now to the last two psukim. These last two psukim basically have nothing to do with this mizmor. Zero. Nothing. These two psukim, it dropped out of the sky and somehow appended itself. The mizmor should have ended right here. We're done. Now we go to the next mizmor. But no, there are two psukim that stand out like a sore thumb. I have no shaychis these next two psukim. I see Avdov, you have a new background. Very good. You're very good with Zoom. You know how to change the background.
Out of the office.
I'm just joking. You change locations, I know. Okay, so here, let's see what it says over here in Pasuk Chav and Pasuk Chav Aleph. Heitiva v'ritzoincha es tzion. May Hashem, may you be good. May you provide benefit with your goodwill to es tzion. Tzion refers to basically Yerushalayim. Tivne, may you Hashem rebuild the chaymos, the walls of Yerushalayim. What is Yerushalayim? What is Sion? What is Heitiva v'Ritzayin ha-Sion? Tivne Chaymos Yerushalayim have anything to do with David, Bathsheba, Nasan HaNavi, the Sugya of Teshuvah? What's going on here? What does this stuff do with anything? Nothing. Next words, next pasuk. Us then, Tachpoit Zivchei Tzedek. Then when you'll build Yerushalayim, you will then desire Zivchei Tzedek. Sacrifices of righteousness, oila v'chalil, a carbon oila, chalil means a mincha of a kohen that is completely burnt. Oz yalu al mizbach ha'chofarim, then we'll bring on the mizbeach farim, big, large animals, big sacrifices that will be very, very, very great and very significant. What's going on over here in these circles? Let's go back now and look at the mitzudos of all of them we learned today. We learned today two pages. Let's read the mitzudos of these two pages. Back on page 467. On page 467, Pasuk Tes Vav. David is begging Hashem, forgive me, because if you will forgive me, it will be a kiddush Hashem. You'll be able to use me as a tool to teach the world. That you can do teshuvah. Pasuk page 467 on the bottom of Mitzudos. Pasuk Tezvav Alameda. Oz, after you forgive me, Uchal Lilamed Esterachecho Esapoishim. I will be able to use my situation as a method to teach other people. I'll go on tour. I'll go all over the world and tell people, look, let me teach you something. Look, you can do teshuvah. Look at me. You see people do this all the time. People who go through very difficult situations, they go all over the world and they tell people what happened to them and they tell people to be inspired by their story. David was the first. David was the first. Azucha lamnes rechecha esa poishim bul haziram al ha teshuvah, and to teach them about teshuvah, v'loimar luchem, and say to them, ru'u me also be, look what happened to me, al yidei ha teshuvah, look what happened to me, I did teshuvah, Hashem forgave me. Elecha yeshuvu, and then all the wicked will also do teshuva. Al yidei devarai ela yadati ki yeshuvu. When I tell them these things, then everyone in the world is going to know, is going to follow my ways. They're also going to do teshuva. Pasuk tezayin, mi damim.
By the way, the Gemara of the Zohar, I think it is the beginning. It says that there were two events in history that were not kedai to happen, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu
allowed it.
And allowed it to happen. And one was for a model of tshuva for an individual, and the other one was a model for tshuva of a rabbin.
Which ones are they?
David was a model of tshuva for an individual. So, like it says, that's a
and what was, what would you remember? Do you remember what was the model of tshuva?
The rabbin was the chet ha'egel.
The chet ha'egel, interesting. Okay, then the tzibur can do tshuva as well. Interesting.
It
okay.
wasn't to die for them.
To no, worship.
And they bring the pasuk halalti, you know, that my heart is empty of any
sin. David lechat ela lechoyrais teshuva. David only sinned, only Hashem only allowed him to sin in order that he should teach teshuva to the world. Excellent. All right, so that's what it says over here. Therefore, David over here saying, "Forgive me," and then the wicked will learn from me. And lech yeshuva al yedei divrei eli yadati ki yeshuva. The wicked will do teshuva pasuk tezayin midamim. Shelo yushpach domi. Like we said before, it says the word dam means death. It is a metaphor for death. And here, even though it's written b'loshon rabim, it means David's own blood, as we explained from the Radak. You can write it b'loshon rabim. Bigmul he'avoyin hazeh v'ozden tiranein lishni. I will sing to you hatzedokah she'asiso imadi, the kindness you've done with me to forgive me. Pasuk yitzayin, Hashem sifosai tiftoch. Ufi yagid tehilasech. We deserve this a lot of time on this pasuk, but right now the suits of mitzudos bima shetim chali. This is the hakdama. You have to add these words, the context, into the siddur. Before it says, and before you say the words Hashem sefosai tiftach, you should really say ba'av bima shetim chali tiftach pi. My mouth will then open lahagid tehilasech lorabim. I'll be able to declare your praise to the tzibur ulehoir libam and to arouse them al hateshuva. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
We take this pasuk out of context and we insert it as the introduction to the Shmoneh Esrei, and also on an introduction Hashem sefasai tiftach, and also on Yom Kippurim, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before the shaliach tzibur begins. The part of the Shmoneh Esrei, the avoida of the Shmoneh Esrei, oichila lokehel achalefanav. That paragraph is where on Rosh Hashanah you begin malchiyos, zichroinos, and shayfos, and achila begins on Yom Kippurim, the avoida of Yom Kippurim, and the last line of oichila is Hashem sefosai tiftach ufi yagid tehilasech. And then some say also in the small letters. I think so. You have to. But Hashem sefasai tiftach. So this expression Hashem sefasai tiftach has been extracted from this mizmar and has been put in our sidurim before we begin the Shemoneh Esrei. But 99.99% of us don't. When we say the pasuk, we don't reflect on the context of where this pasuk was originally said. And according to the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, it was said, if Hashem, you will forgive me, only then will I be able to have the joy, courage, to open my mouth and sing to you and express your praise. Which would seem to indicate that the most critical concept that we need to enter into Shemoneh Esrei is Mechilas. How dare we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pray to Him when we're Malei Chet? And by saying Hashem Sefosai Tiftach, if you want to say this, because you don't have to say this, if you wish, I think it's fair, I think it's very well accepted, that we do indeed extract words out from their context, and we put them wherever we want, and by doing so, we give it a new meaning that has absolutely nothing to do with where it came from. That's partially fair game. It's partially fair. I'll give you a classic example. Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh. Okay, so everyone used that expression that man is a mashal now coming up to b'shvat. Ah, Adam, a human being, is a tree. Adam kiho, Adam eitz ha'sodeh, could show you books and books, encyclopedias, all the different drush, and all the different times it's used by different darshanim to express the concept that man is like a tree. He has roots, he has branches, he has fruit, he has seed, It's the first mizmor in Tehillim. The first mizmor, Ashrei Ho'ish, compares a person to a tree. But if you look at the pasuk, and you look at the Peshuta Shel Mikra, it's 180 degrees the opposite. The Peshuta Shel Mikra is, don't chop down a tree. Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh. Is the tree your enemy? A tree is not a human being. The Peshuta Shel Mikra is, you have here, you're laying siege to a city. The people in this city are evil. They're evil. They have to be eliminated. They're evil people. They're Rishoim. They're Hitlers, for real. These are Rishoim. They have to be destroyed. So you're laying siege. So when you're laying siege, there are fruit trees. There are fruit trees. So you decide, you know what, let's chop down the fruit trees. We'll use the fruit trees for fuel, for this, for that. Don't. Don't chop down the fruit tree. Bal Tashchis, there's other trees available. There are trees that are not fruit trees. Don't chop down a fruit tree. Is the tree your enemy? The enemy is inside the city. Just because I'm giving you permission to kill the enemy because he's evil, I'm not giving you permission to unnecessarily destroy a fruit tree. Is the tree your enemy? Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh. That is the Peshutoi Shel Mikra. And yet what have we done? We've taken those words and we have abused them beyond belief. Those words are now sitting on a couch by a psychologist complaining, look what they did to me. The pasuk says that man is not that a tree is not a human being. Not for good, not for bad. And man has come along and taken those words and made a metaphor that yes, indeed, a tree, an Adam, is like a tree. So we do that all the time. Okay, everyone is singing, they're dancing around at a wedding. Ish el re'ehu yoimar chazak. One man says to his friend, strengthen yourself. Chizuk. Be mechazik yourself. You know what the context of that pasuk is? When you want to buy a beautiful idol, you go into the idol store and you look at all the different displays of all different types of idols and you select one and you tell and you pay the most expensive materials. It's not enough. Every day you come into the factory and you stand over the craftsman and you mechazik him. Make it better. Make my avodah zara nicer. Bang harder. You come to the factory to be mechazek, the manufacturer of the idol. Ish el re'ehu yoimar chazak. Who in the world would want to take that pasuk and make that pasuk into a song and brainwash the entire Orthodox population? Ish el re'ehu yoimar chazak. It's hilarious. And that's what we've done. How could you do that? How could you do that? I don't know. I really don't know, because you look on the page, there's not even one Mefarish that says it in a good term. It's all referring to Avodah Zarah. Yet somehow, I don't know, someone has come along and taken that pasuk and twisted it to a nice expression, be mechazek, learn Torah, Torah, tefillah, mechazek one another. Wow, you've really taken the pasuk out of context. So I used to think it's crazy, but you know what? Maybe it's not so crazy. Maybe that's the way it goes. There are situations where you ain't a chanami, it's the right words, and we take those words, we deliberately extract it out of its context, and we give it new meaning in a new location.
Don't they do that to the holidays?
I don't know. They do everything. Today, everything goes today. There's no limitations in what goes on today. So, we say every time, here's my dilemma.
I'll tikri this, I'll
tikri that. When Chazal make a drasha, it's a drasha. When Chazal, that's a drasha of Chazal.
But they say that.
It's sacred. Yeah. You can't on your own make drashas. Every drasha is a Mesorah, Halacha, Lashon, Mesina. You can't on your own make drashas. Okay, so here, yeah, the Anshei Kines HaGadolah. Here's my dilemma. Anshei Kines HaGadolah. I've taken this pasuk, Hashem Sifosai Tiftach, Ufi Agiti Lo Secha, and they've put it before the Shemone Esrei. Was it the goal of the Anshei Kines HaGadolah that before we say that pasuk, we should in our minds review the entire mizmar? We should review the entire mizmar from beginning, where it comes from, understand the context of where it was said and apply that context to what we are about to do. If we're about to recite Shmoyne Esrei, and Chazal told us to say Hashem Sifosai Tiftach Ofi Agir Tilosecha, it was their intent that we should go to the Mizmor, Mizmor Nun Aleph, look at where it says Hashem Sifosai Tiftach, and according to all of the commentators, it means Hashem, please forgive me. Only if you forgive me will my heart, will it open up with joy, and I will be able to sing your praises. Well, that would mean that every time you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you should think that thought. I'm about to daven Shmoneh Esrei, but Hashem, I'm molei chet. I'm full of sin. And if I'm full of sin, it's just not going to go. So Hashem, before, as I'm saying,
gosh, this is the word.
Oh, that's a dilemma. So you're taking it out of context. You're taking it out of context. And so you're saying, Einachinami, that's the way it goes, 100%.
It's put into this context.
Oh, right. You put it into a new context, and it takes on a completely different meaning in its new location.
Right.
Even though that's not where it was, it's not where it originated.
Right.
So it's a little bit, or maybe not. Maybe. This is something, I mean, the truth is, the answer is, Eilu v'Eilu, it all depends. All depends on who the person is, what interpretation you want to learn from it. But there are two different ways to look, and this, the entire davening is like this. Almost every expression in the Nusach HaTfilah is extracted from somewhere. And the question is, what did the composer have in mind? And when you look at some of the more complex piyutim, like especially the kinois, and some of the piyutim, it's clear as day that when they take expressions, they definitely mean you should go to the context of where it was said, and understand the where, and bring that into this piyut, because otherwise the words don't make any sense. But here,
how these words fit into, do you know anything about these words? Have nothing to do with kapara.
Look, yes, that's what's it doing here. Yes, it does. Look at the mitzvah stavit. Everyone says the same thing. Look at the mitzvah stavit. I'm pasik yud zayin. Tiftach, Hashem, opened up my lips. Well, David is just saying stam. David's walking down the street. Hashem sifosai tiftach. There's a whole mizmor where David is begging Hashem for forgiveness, and now is the finale. He's coming down to the finale. Hashem, I presented many arguments. Hashem, I confess, chotasi visi poshati. And by the way, take into consideration, it's anyway not my fault, it's my father's fault. And take into consideration that Hashem, you'll use me as a tool. And I'm desperate, I don't want to die because of this. And then he says, Hashem, sifosai tiftach ofi agiti l'secha. This context. This is not just Stam David just walking down the street. Okay, it's a beautiful day today. I want to go daven Shmon Esrei. Hashem, inspire me. These words are said in a specific context. Mitzudos David, bima shetimchali. With now, after I've presented to you compelling arguments why I'm innocent, forgive me. And when you will forgive me, tiftach pi, my mouth will open up lahagid tehilo secho lo rabim. The world will be able to hear my praise. Ulehoir libam al hateshuva. Now, if you're going to say, like I said, I present you a dilemma that Chazal had in mind when they plagiarized, when they extracted out of Tehillim this pasuk and they put it, they popped it right before the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. There are many things they could have done. They could have done nothing. Just begin. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, saying, who needs you? Who's asking to say Hashem Sifosai Tiftach? And if you want to have a pasuk of introduction, you can have 100 psukim. Go through the whole Tanakh, you'll find 100 psukim. Why did they specifically pick this pasuk? So you can say many things. So I'm just presenting an idea. Is there a possibility that Chazal wanted you to look at this pasuk where it was said and bring into the beginning of your Shmoneh Esrei an acknowledgement that man, when you stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are molei chet, a person who comes before Hashem, ein tzadik bo'aretz asher yaseh toiv velo yecheta, and a person who's a chete does not stand in front of a king. And if you come in front of a king, you can't even open up your mouth. And the first thing is, Hashem, I'm molichet. do me a toiva, temporarily forgive me, so that I can be happy and I can get out what I want to say to you. 99.9% of the population does not have this in mind. Why? Obviously, because they're of the opinion that no, Chazal have a right to find words which are just the right words to extract them, put them in a new location, and in the new location, it will take on a completely new meaning that has nothing to do with where it came from. And when you come to Davin, they're teaching you that you have to Davin to have success to Davin. Has nothing to do with Chet. We'll get to Chet later on. Chet will come to Slach Lonu Avinu Ki Chotanu. We'll get to Chet. We have a whole section for Chet. But right now we're just dealing with Tefillah. Okay, this now there are many things in the Nusach of Davening where it's only if you know the context of where it was said does the Nusach have any meaning. Many times like that, especially in Piyutim, which are very, very terse, very, very precise. But in more general types of prayers, you don't need to come on to that. Hashem Sefazatifzach V'yagid L'Sechel is a very nice thing. It's a very nice, it's a prayer to succeed in prayer. Don't confuse me where this pasuk was said originally. It's not necessary. I understand it fine and well in this new context. Or maybe, you know, maybe Chazal's intent was, how dare you go and stand before the Melech when you're Melech Eid. A couple of weeks ago, this anti-Semite, he had a meeting with Trump. So the whole world exploded. The whole world, what are you upset? It's a Choyte. He's a Rasha. He's a Rasha. He's an anti-Semite. He's a wicked person, a person of influence. And the president of the United States of America, 45, is going to go meet, have an audience. A Choyte doesn't have an audience with a person who's a leader. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. So are we any different? Are we any different? In tzaddik ba'aretz ashayaset v'lo yechata. We have an audience 3 times a day with the Melech Malchei Amlochim. The Ereshit Zach is Hashem, forgive me. It's a you're alluding to the, you're acknowledging I don't belong here. I'm a choyte. I need to do teshuvah, and we'll get to it. We'll get to it later on. But the first thing I want to acknowledge is I'm a choyte, and I need you to forgive me. Let's finish up. Ki lo sachpoitz ein ikar cheftzicha bezevach u'matan. Hashem does not need korbanos. It's not what he needs. What does he need? Next page. Page Yotes, page 468. What does Hashem want? Zivchei ruach nishbaruchu azevach amarutz. Hashem wants a person to give his neshama, to humble himself. V'loy simze imkein libi ha-nishbar v'ha-nidke. That's why my heart is broken and shattered. And now we come to the last two psukim. And as I told you, the last two psukim are shocking. They have nothing to do with what we learned. And look how in the Mitzudas David struggles for his life to figure out why these two psukim are here. Hey, Tiva, chozar gam lispal al b'nei ha-goyla. Now that David finished praying for himself, he now prays. It's very interesting now. This is
an up note to end with.
Doesn't say that. He says something very, very deep, and also he says something historical, which I don't think we appreciate.
Okay.
After he prays, there's a lot to learn from what's going on over in these last two psukim as I conclude this mizmar. First of all, there's an historical note. When we think about this is very important. When we think about David, you learn Sefer Shmuel. It's like, David, he's living in idyllic times. Everything is fine and good. Everyone, Klal Yisrael, it's now been 400 and approximately 480 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim. 400, almost, not yet, but getting close to that number. And now he's coming close to building the Beis HaMikdash. He's getting the foundation ready. He's collecting money. He has the blueprints. David, it was built 7 years after David died in the Shlomo HaMelech, but he's building up to that. And the Klal Yisrael is living, oh, it's wonderful. We've finally achieved greatness. We've conquered the land after 440 years. No. When David lived, there was a lot of suffering going on. A lot of the Jewish people were in exile. What does that mean? We don't know the history. A lot of people were taken slaves, taken to other lands. What?
The Pelishtim,
but we don't know about this. We're not familiar with these wars. We know there were wars. You learn Sefer Shoftim, and you learn about different wars, but you don't necessarily feel the gravity of how much suffering the Jewish people endured during this time. There were people that were taken prisoners, captives, slaves, all parts of the world. They didn't even build the Bayis Rishon yet. And David over here is saying, you know, Klal Yisrael now, in this Zman, is suffering. Let's receive the Mitzvah of David. Borei, I'm sorry, Pasachov. Chazar gam l'spal al b'nei ha-goyla. Bav b'bavol v'ashur. V'omar re'ei li bo'isam ha-nishparim v'heitiv v'ritzon chasyon sh'tibone v'sikoinein. If you're learning this, the b'nei ha-goyla, I mean, if you want to say it's Nevu, when he says here, Bavel and Ashur, I know they put over here in brackets. This is the printer did this. I don't know. I take that back. I don't know who did this. Because if you say Bavel and Ashur and you take it literally, you're out of time. You're 400 years premature.
Could someone put it in later?
I don't know who put this in. Bavel.
No, I mean the three
psukim. Oh, we're going to come to that in a second. These psukim, the Parsha Pshat, David is dealing with Bathsheba. We're not dealing with a prophecy for the future generations. We're dealing with his lifetime. His lifetime, Bavel didn't exist yet. It didn't exist. There was no the roots of Malchus Bavel first started in the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech, and it took of 200 years until they developed into a nation to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. It didn't exist. Ashur also not so sure it existed by David, but Ashur came on the scene 200 years after David died. So what is this doing over here? So you want us Nevuah. David now is talking about his prophesizing. I see in my crystal ball, I see in Nevuah that there's going to be a galus of Aseres HaShvatim. Sancheiriv is going to exile the 10 tribes, and I'm praying for them. And I see that in 400 years, Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and the Jewish people are going to be taken to Babel, and I'm praying for them. Is that what it means? Well, it's in brackets, those two words. Or maybe what it means is that in Sefer Shoftim, there was a lot of problems. And you read the psukim, we gloss over it, but there was a lot of tzaras. And David, when he was the king, he wasn't, you know, during this time, he wasn't really the full king yet during this time, when Klal Yisrael was suffering. And there were people all over the Middle East that were captured. They were Jewish people, and he's praying for them. And he's praying that Yerushalayim should be established. And that was his goal. His goal was to make a Jewish state, where there will be a build the Beis HaMikdash. He did not witness the seed fully in his lifetime. He purchased the property and he built the foundation and he did other things to establish it, but this is his goal. And it's interesting that what he's doing is, if you take it like that, if you take out the words of the brackets, Bavel, take all those two words, Bavel v'Ashur, and you just look at it, he's coming to pray over here for people that are suffering. There's a very powerful Musa. And the Musa is, David here is suffering very, very much. He's suffering very much because of his chatoim. And David realizes, I'm suffering. Why should I be so selfish? There are other people that are suffering. Every time a person has a tzara, Rachman Litzlan has a difficult situation, you have to realize, you know something? There are other people that are suffering. I'm not the only one that's suffering. And when I daven to Hashem to be alleviated from my suffering, why should I be so selfish and only pray for myself? A person is undergoing a difficult situation, any man, anything in his life. He's very upset, it's very painful. And he goes to shul and he davens. And a person who has a spirit of nobility, in the middle of a Shemoneh Esrei, he says, you know, I'm the only one that has a problem. I can list you 10 people that have exactly the same problem that I'm going through. Who's davening for them? Who's helping them? Who's helping them endure their suffering? So, you know, maybe instead of me being so selfish and only daven for myself, I'll daven for them also. not this selfish type of davening. That's a very abused concept. It's not with the expectation that I'm only going to daven for you because for selfish reasons. That's not the way it goes. It means a person who doesn't think about it and just sees another person that has a tzar and he daven for them and happens to be, he don't even realize you have that same problem, the male Hashem will help you also. But he's saying, why should my suffering be private? Let me pray for someone else as well. When Mashiach will come, then people will no longer sin, and it will no longer be necessary to bring a carbon chatos and a carbon asham, which are only brought for a sin, but instead it will bring oilois, shlamim, that are only brought for good things. Okay, I just want to leave one last thing before we conclude. And after this, makes a bit of a look at the book of the Radak. The Radak says something that is utterly shocking. Pasuk Chaf in the Radak, Heitiv v'ritzoncha, b'shnei psukim. Okay, page 469, Radak Pasuk Chaf, b'shnei psukim ma'elech, ha'achronim nirah she'shova elav ruach ha'kodesh. Ah, so he says, now, what was this whole prayer? Al v'ruach kodshecho al tikach mimeni. And guess what Hashem answered him? The ruach ha'kodesh was restored. Oh, now that the Ruach HaKodesh has been restored, we can get back with the program. The program is to pray for Klal Yisrael. So it's a beautiful, natural conclusion to this Mizmar. David sinned. What happened when he sinned? The Ruach HaKodesh went away. Now the Ruach HaKodesh came back. The proof that it came back is now that David can go back and be mispal for Klal Yisrael of Tibona v'tikoinein b'mehedov yameinu amein. This is the beautiful conclusion to David's prayer. I sinned, I confessed, I presented my arguments in Bezdin, and I won! And I'll prove to you that I won. Look, the Ruach HaKodesh is sure, and I can pray for Eretz Yisrael, Tibona v'sikonin, b'meher av yemenu amen. Okay, that itself is a knockout home run, what it says over here. That's not what I wanted to say, by the way. That's not what I wanted to say. I wanted to show you the Ibn Ezra. Okay, so I told you first the one shot from the Radak, that this is a beautiful conclusion to this Mizmar. Because this goes to prove that Hashem forgave him, and now he's prophesizing for the future. Tibana v'sikoinein. Beautiful pshat. Ibn Ezra. I meant to tell you the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra. Look at the Ibn Ezra. Heitiva, omar echamei chachamei sefarad. Okay, you have your seatbelts on. Ki eile hashnaim sukim hoy sifam echad. What did he just say? This was an editor's edition?
No, we know of 10 people wrote to him, not his 11.
In Bavel! It's this talking about 500 years later. 500 years later, from the time that David, he wrote these words, so someone was sitting in Bavel and saying to him, Shiram Aloy, Svimamakim, Krosicha Hashem.
Put something from
Adam Arishon,
who was like...
Oh, so Adam Arishon is fair game. The Ishaya Tanakh came to an end with the Chorban, with Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. And now, they're in Bavel, I guess, and some person is saying, Shiram Aloy, it gives a clap after davening, Shiram Aleis, and you know, let me, and somehow the printer got a hold of it.
Somehow
it crept into our edition.
I knew something about Bavel that we didn't know.
No, but he's saying 500 years later. This he's basically seems to be saying is that this is not part of the text. Someone has inserted two psukim into the text, and the printer somehow kept it and fooled everyone. and we. If high going, can't go do that. High going can't go do that. That's not allowed. This is a unbelievable. The whole Tehillim was written with Ruach HaKodesh. They didn't want to include all these books. They didn't want to include Megillas Esther because they were afraid it wasn't 100%. Oh, and over here, someone that just comes and puts in two psukim and you tampered. A tampering of the text. Ibn Ezra. Shocking here, no? I don't know what that last line over here means. This is an utterly shocking thing to say. It's indicating that these two psukim are not part of the original text. It was tampered with and so put in. This is totally shocking. Now you have to know something. The Ibn Ezra is in a class by himself. I told you once many times that the Rabbi Zicherman, who wrote this incredible collection of something called Peloi Satorah, he very often in Sfarim, he says that he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zichzag Levracha, many questions. And every so often he says to him, oh, but the Ibn Ezra says Azoi. So he writes there, Rav Chaim stops, and he says, don't ask me from the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is a Kodesh Kodashim, a goin shebegoinim, but you can't ask me from the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says things sometimes that are so way out, that are so off the beaten path, it's not included in our accepted tradition. Mm-hmm. So don't challenge me with a statement from the Ibn Ezra. This is what he writes. Rav Chaim Kanievsky told this fellow, it's very nice, Ibn Ezra, it's Kodesh Kodesh, but don't take what he says to a degree that you're going to challenge our tradition. No one says that over here. Ibn Ezra says, how else are you going to read this? Ke'ela shnayim psukim ho'yisifam echad mehachasidim shoye b'bavel, shoye misnabel lefnei Hashem u'misfal ha'mizma hazeh. Whoa, what does that mean exactly? Who's this chosid? His chosid is from the Ishaya Tanakh. He has Ruach HaKodesh. He has Nevuah in Bavel. When he means Bavel, Bavel means 500 years from the time David wrote this. It has to be at least 500 years from that during the time of Mordechai and Esther.
Ask a bigger question. How did Chassidim get to Bavel?
When it says Chassidim, it doesn't mean, you know what it means. It doesn't mean the Latter-day Saints. Okay? It means a pious person. This is worth the price of this volume to see these words of the Ibn Ezra, how he learns, but the Radak has a very beautiful, sad, the question is out of the, is an obvious question, what's going on here? The Radak has a satisfying answer, and Ibn Ezra says something that's really shocking. Okay, take a very short break, it's very late.